See, God doesn't want Christians to come to God this way. He wants us to come boldly. He wants us to come, I know, I've stored up my treasures in heaven, I need it now, God, and I need to withdraw it. Now, what currency do you need to withdraw it in? You know, sometimes you don't need money, but you are sick. So you can withdraw in whatever currency you need it in. You can withdraw it in finances. Pastor, why are you preaching about finances the last 2-3 months? Well, because I found out that in our church, we don't have too many sick people. We have few. And we do preach on healing. But the biggest problem in America today is in families. And why families are falling apart. Finances. Your wife spends too much. Husband gets the blood pressure running too high. Everybody's stressed. I mean, we got problems with money. And God will supply all of our needs. Not just healing. All of our needs according to His riches and glory. So that's why I'm preaching, because most of you right here struggle with finances. And you struggle with finances now. You got 20 credit cards now. And when you get married, you're hoping your husband will pay them off. And when you get married, he didn't know about it. He's pissed off. And from the first day, he gets the bill. And he's like, who did I marry? A lot of guys, I hear from a lot of guys, they get married, or girls. Yeah. And another spouse has, you know, 40,000 in credit cards. And then the pressure comes on them. And then the first fight comes up and you're fighting about money. Even when you're not fighting about money, you're fighting about money. Even when you don't think you're fighting about money, you're fighting about money. We find that out in counseling really fast. People have money deal with different problems, but most people deal with financial problems. Oh, Jesus. So, you can withdraw finances. You can withdraw healing. You can withdraw deliverance. You can withdraw protection. Let's say your kids are hanging out, those who have kids, with somebody you don't want them to hang out. You say, Lord, I come to the throne of grace. I need protection for my kids. I need you, Lord, to protect them. Now, Satan says, what right do you have to ask God? How dare you ask God? Well, you say, I come boldly. You know why, little Satan, defeated foe? Because I store my treasure in heaven. And so I can come boldly. Yeah, I put $10, but by the time it's done, it's 100 or 1,000. Satan will try to plant doubt in your heart. Whenever God wants to bless you in an area, Satan will plant doubt in your heart. And that doubt will stop your faith from working. And when you don't have any faith, you can't receive nothing from the Lord. So when you are a tither, when you come to God and you need something, you need to come boldly. It's mine. It's just with interest. Do you remember a few weeks ago, I told you a story I read from Psychology Today magazine, and they said why Jewish people are so rich. Their income is $100,000 more a year on average than regular Protestant Christian, born-again Christian. Why is that? See, because we Christians, we took some scriptures, like the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And we said, blessed are the poor in wallet. Bible doesn't say, blessed are poor in wallet. Bible says, blessed are poor in spirit. What is being blessed to poor in spirit? Humble person. In religious world made it, oh no, you poor is blessed. No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. And interestingly, it says if you give up everything. You remember that rich young ruler, Jesus says, go and sell everything, give it to the poor, and great is your treasure in heaven. He got mad. But really, Jesus spoke to disciples right after that. He said, whoever gives up everything, houses, wife, children, land, businesses, for the gospel and for the kingdom, will receive how much? Hundredfold when? In this life. See, you need to know this. Because the devil will keep you broke, and you'll think your faith is not working, and you'll think, is Christianity real or not? It is real. And that's why I'm going to teach these principles and tell everybody. Because remember, I'm supposed to raise stars in this church. And that means there's going to be a lot of millionaires in this church. I'm responsible to teach. You need to believe. If I believe in you, you need to believe in yourself. Oh, and one more thing. I'm going to be a millionaire maybe faster than. I believe it. I don't know. I believe it. So, Tom Stedman prophesied this to me many times in other prophets. He says that you're going to have millionaires in your church. So I believe it. And that's why I'm teaching. It's not for you to be. Bible says I'm going to make you a blessing. I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing. If you take a vow of poverty, how much can you give? How much can you bless people? Have you ever wanted to help people maybe on the reservation with money, you know? Have you ever seen kids, poor kids in different countries, India and Africa, where they just struggle, China, they're just skinny. And somebody was saying $20 a month will cover. Well, if I had $20, I would. See, devil wants us to be just this false humility. Jesus came to give you life to the fullest. So you are able to give up poor and not even worry about that. Hallelujah. Next thing, we can stop being anxious. Okay? When you store up your treasure in heaven, you don't have to be anxious. Why? Because no matter what's going on with the economy here on earth, your heart is secure. See, your heart is not connected to the stock market. Have you noticed how everybody on the news, oh, the stock market, the economy is just down all the way. Oh, how are we going to pay our bills? Oh, you know, there's so much panic and fear. God doesn't want us to be connected to this panic and fear. He wants our heart to be connected to heaven, knowing I've stored up my treasures in heaven. I'm not connected to this economy. God will supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. That's it. I believe it. That settles it. Amen. You know, when I found out this principle, I used to be stressed out. Because in business, your money goes up and down, up and down. And then winter comes and no money comes for like 4 months. And I was stressed out. But after I found out this principle, I don't have to be anxious. Because I've stored for the last 13 years, since I was 17, I started giving a tithe. I never stopped. For 13 years. And when I found out that if I store my treasures in heaven, I can get it back, change my heart like you wouldn't believe it. Church, you shouldn't be allowing Satan to come and make you anxious if you store up your treasures in heaven. You know, money could go up and down. You can have one job one day and maybe not have it another day. But if you store up your treasures in heaven, your heart is secure. Third, we become secure in God. Economy will not scare us. Fourth, our heart become free from earthly things or materialism and earthly security. Next one, faith is easy when you know that you have made a deposit in heaven. This is the cool thing, that when you come to God, you can come in faith. Bible says, whenever you pray, believe that you have received and you will have it. You shall have it. See, when you don't know that you have a treasure in heaven, you come to God and you say, Father, please, maybe you have, you know, a little bit of love in your heart to give me something. And God says, don't come like that. Do you remember the story of a prodigal son? When he returned home and he wasted all the money that his father gave. And when the oldest son found out that a father threw in a party for his prodigal son, he got upset and wouldn't come in. Do you remember what the father said to the oldest son? He said, son, all that I have is yours. This son was working all of his life for his father, but never took time to know that whatever he worked for, he can enjoy. That's how a lot of Christians are. That's why when we give money to God, we think it's a bill. And you don't feel as good. Because you don't think that everything that your father has is yours. But after today, you will know that everything, and you can come boldly because you've deposited into heaven. Next one. We begin to serve one master. When we serve two masters, our faith is kind of shaky. We are double-minded men. And the Bible says double-minded men will not receive anything from the Lord. So if your heart is divided between world and God, heaven and earth, you're a double-minded man. So whenever you ask something of God, it just doesn't come to pass. Next one. It teaches us to be an investor. And we begin to have an investor's mind when we store up our treasures in heaven. A lot of Christians, they're not investors, they're debtors. The only thing that this world teaches us is if you can't afford it now, you can buy it on credit. So our couches are credit, our cars are credit, our houses are credit, our plates that we eat and silverware are on credit. Everything we have, our clothes, it's not even paid for, it's credit card. See, but when we learn to put a tithe in heaven, it makes us think that, hey, if I give to God 10%, I can save 10%. So next time I need those cute shoes, you can have money in your account to go and buy it. You don't have to go before God and say, God, please, I need those shoes, please. And then you say, well, if that's not going to work in the next hour or so, I'm just going to use a credit card. I'll pay it off someday, somehow. I mean, everybody is in debt. Everybody is broke right now, so might as well. You know what I mean? Storing up our treasures in heaven makes us disciplined and teaches us to have a heart of investors. Jewish people, the reason they're so rich, they learn to invest. They're the biggest investors in stock market. And a lot of Christians, we don't invest. We go more and more into debt. Why should we store our treasures in heaven? We should store a treasure in heaven so that our heart could be there while we are on earth. Did you know that your heart could live in heaven while you live on earth? Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. And God doesn't want your heart to be in your car, in your house, in material things. He wants your heart to be with Him in heaven. So when you invest there, that's where your heart is. Hallelujah. Do you remember when Peter was toiling all night? He was fishing all night and caught nothing. And then Jesus came to him and said, Peter, why don't you throw your nets on the other side? And he said, Jesus, I toiled all night, caught nothing. But because you said a word, according to your word, I'll do it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What was this Word's name? Jesus. So when Jesus spoke to Peter, it's the same thing as Jesus speaking to us today through His Word. Did you take time to discover His Word, what it says about your finances? If you didn't, Satan will rob you. He will steal from you. He will steal, kill, and destroy. But if you find out, and if you understand this principle, you will never be the same. Your giving will never be the same. You don't have to be anxious anymore. Hallelujah. And so, as Peter threw in the net, according to the word, when you obey the word of God, fish start fighting to get into your net. Did you know that the fish net was so filled up that there was no room? They were breaking, and Peter had to call other fishermen. And they filled up both boats to the point where they started to sink. That's the blessing. But how does it work? If Peter said, I don't want to listen to God, I'll do it my way. I know how to fish, Jesus. You know, who are you? You're a carpenter's son. I am a fisherman from my birth, pretty much. But he did what? He obeyed his word. Bible says it's not the hearers of word that receive the benefits of it. It's the doers of words of God. Hallelujah. Next one. Most people give to God with the same emotion as they would pay a bill. Is that how you do it? Well, then you're not doing it in faith. See, for a lot of us, we were taught that we need to give 10% to God. And we do it, but not because we want to, but because we have to. And we give it with the heart that's not you know, cheerful. And a lot of us kind of don't understand how can you give 10% of your income with cheer? And the reason is, until today, because we didn't know that you can store up your money in heaven, and in heaven it multiplies. It grows 30, 60, and 100 fold. Huh. Hallelujah. I got a statistics here. Did you know that 12% of born-again Christians give tithe in the year of 2000? Only 12% of born-again Christians give a tithe. No wonder we have so many poor people in the church. You know that Protestant churches are below Catholic churches in income. Because when Catholics hear priests say absolution, they believe it. When Catholics hear that you got to give a tithe, and they do, they don't question it. It's us, born again, Spirit-filled Christians, we always doubt God. Because we're always so cheap. And you know what? Bible says, a one scatters all over and yet is not poor. And another, it says in Proverbs, he gathers and hoards and is cheap and yet still poor. Oh, Jesus. Let me give you another statistic. It's in your notes. 23% of born-again Christians give no money in the year 2000. 23% of born-again Christians gave no money to church in the year 2000. And we're wondering, God, what's going on? And when there's an altar call, everybody runs and everybody wants to receive their blessing. But God says, you rob me. You steal from me. You know, in Malachi it says, the whole people of Israel rob me. Hey, if only 12% give a tithe, the rest of the people rob. That's why we only have few rich people in the church. Come on. Because you don't believe it. Because you don't believe it. And 88% of Christians steal from God. And if you steal from God, how can you expect to be blessed? Let me give you a story of Mike Murdoch. I heard from Mike Murdoch. He said a father was a businessman and he went away in business. And then after he came back, he met a son at the airport. And he said, son, I've made extra $100. And he said, I want to bless you. I'll give you 10. Son was like, thanks, Dad. Awesome. Then father was like, I've been gone so long. I should give him a little more. Here's 20. Maybe I should give just a little bit more. He's like, here, you can have all of it except one $10 bill. I'll keep this. So he takes that. The son is like, yeah, awesome, $90. Father goes and puts the $10 on his shelf in one of the cabinets. And both of them, you know, go to sleep. And the son is thinking, you know, it would be nice if I had 100. You know, a father will probably never notice. I mean, he doesn't need money. He probably will never notice the $10. I should just go. He's sleeping right now. I should go and take it. What would you think a father would feel after he finds out what his son did? Disappointed. How can I give you money if that's what you do? See, a lot of us steal from God. And we've been a Christian for a long time. We have some seasoned Christians here. I'm not talking to the new believers. I'm talking to seasoned Christians. And no wonder we have credit card debts. And we act all nice in church and then we see you in bankruptcy court. You hide and smile in church and you act like you are all that in a bag of chips, like D.G. Jakes says. That's not mine, that's D.G. Jakes. All that in a bag of chips. Paula White too, yeah. But really, we rob God. Imagine if 100% of born-again Christians, we're not talking everybody else, all the other denominations, if all the people in the church gave a tithe, how much more mission-minded could we be? How many we could send this January to Ghana? How many kids can we buy out from slavery? What kind of building would we have? Be awesome if everybody gave a tithe. But see, a lot of us, we don't trust God yet. And then we expect God to bless us, and then we're disappointed. Why? God says, you know what? Tithe is like a security code to go on your internet. How many of you have a security code to get into your Windows? Yeah. Well, you got to put a code for the Windows to open. You can pray and say, please open. You can try all the keys on a keyboard and it won't open to you because there's one key. There's a password. And when you put that in, you just push enter and that's it. You're in. Same with God. God says, there's one key. Test me in this, says the Lord. Will I not open the windows of heaven for you and pour out a blessing that you can't contain? That's what God says. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And I will give you your fruit and it will not be wasted. It will not go rotten before its time. That's what God says. So the secret is a tithe. And then he says, you just don't give it to me without expecting a return. When you give it to me, I will open up the windows of heaven. You will receive 100-fold in this life. People of God, it works. I am so stubborn about this. Because if this doesn't work, then the rest of the Bible cannot work. It's either all Bible or none of the Bible. And I would be a hypocrite if I would teach you to choose what Bible you want to believe. It's all or nothing. It's 100% or nothing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you know these principles of storing your treasure in heaven, it will become easy for you. Whatever you give to God, it always multiplies. It never stays the same. Point number 6. In which ways do we give to God? In which ways do we store our treasures in heaven? Do you want to know? Because a lot of people think it's only money. You ready? In which way you can give? Well, obviously, giving a tithe is storing up your treasures in heaven. Somebody said tithe destroys the greatest enemy of prosperity. Greed. See, God wants you to be free from greed. Because that's the biggest enemy to your prosperity. See, a lot of us think, if I can keep the 10%, I will be well off. And then something happens. You get an accident or a ticket or, you know, you get sick and you still give it away. But God says, if you give it to me, I will protect you. I will open up the windows of heaven. But he says, could you trust me though? So giving a tithe is one way. Second, giving to the poor. Proverbs 19:7. I'm going to read it quick. One who is gracious to the poor man landeth to the Lord. Can I lend some money from somebody here? I need $5 or just lend it to me. Go ahead, sit down right here, Francis. Thank you, Francis. Thank you. When I lend the money from Francis, I said what? I will give it back, right? So when time comes to give it back, who's happy and who's not? You know, when you borrow some money in a bank and then it's time to pay back? I mean, it's not a good feeling. It's like, oh man. But look at Francis. He's happy, right? Look what the Bible says. He who giveth to the poor lendeth to the Lord. And then what it says. And he will repay him for his good deed. When I borrowed money from Francis, I kind of feel uncomfortable around him now. Come on, when you borrow somebody money because they look at you like, hey, when are you going to pay me back? Guess what? God says, do not be in debt to anybody in anything except to love them. Do you think God obeys His own commandments? So if I was God and I borrowed from Francis, if Francis gave to the poor and I gave that scripture in there, I feel like I owe Francis. I don't like being owing people money. Have you ever owed somebody money? Doesn't feel good, right? Especially when you can't pay them back. They stop calling you and they'll stop coming to see where you are and they'll change friends.
Like, hey, this guy was always around. As soon as he got $200 from me, I never see him anymore. And he doesn't pick up my phone calls. It doesn't feel to owe somebody something, right? God doesn't want us to owe. Because he says you become a slave to the person you owe. That's why don't borrow money unless you can give it to them. Because the person you borrow will become your slave. And you won't have a good relationship. But if you have money to give, give it to them. And if they can pay you back, great. If they don't, fine. So guess what? When you give to the poor, it's like you lend to the Lord. And the Lord will do what? Repay. So, if Francis gave to the poor, that's me. Earl is God. And Earl says, I'm not going to be in debt to Francis. No way. But God never returns what He took. Give and it shall be given you to you with a great measure. Runneth over. So you give five. So how do you store up your treasures in heaven? By giving to the poor. When was the last time you gave a poor person something? Amen. We've got to do that more often as a church. Third, giving for evangelism. Bible says go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, not everybody is called to be a missionary. But everybody is called to support missionaries. Next one, serving. We have a little problem in the church, in churches in America. Because most people think that if I do something in the church, if I clean the church, if I build this, they should pay me. See, but an interesting thing is, when you serve, you store up your treasures in heaven. I'll prove it to you. This brother of a prodigal son, he said, I've been serving you all my life. And God said to him, son, what are you talking about? Everything I have is yours. So every time you volunteer with kids, with nursery, musicians, you should have such a great boldness because you're here every week. You spend at least 4 or 5 hours a week in a church by serving, ministering with music to the people of God. You should have boldness to come before God and say, God, I need this. I know I do because I'm a servant of God. I know my wife does. She's a servant of God. And so when you serve God, when you volunteer, when you help the kids' church, you're storing up your treasures in heaven. And then when you come to the Lord, you shouldn't be like you are unfamiliar to God. You are family now. And you have filled up the bank account in heaven. See, a lot of people think, well, I'm doing it for the pastor. Don't do it for me. I'm doing it to look good. Don't do it like that. You know, Pharisees did that. They would give money so they could look good. Jesus said they got their reward here. But He says, store it up. Store it up in heaven. And then God says, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you can't contain. If you are a servant of God, especially if you're a Christian and you are doing something in the church, if you're ministering or serving people somehow, you should have great boldness to come to God. But a lot of times, we come like beggars. We don't come like beggars. We're children. We're sons and daughters of Christ, of God. And whatever is His is ours. I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit on me right now in my hands. God wants to break free the spirit of poverty, the spirit of curse out of the people of God. We will never have financial problems in this church. We've never did in 6 years, and we'll never have it again. Because as a church, we will become tithers too. Yeah, because this principle works individually and for a church as a total. If you believe it, it will work for you. If you don't, it won't. Just remember this. If you believe the Word of God, it will work for you. If you don't, it won't. Hallelujah.